Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Well, welcome everyone. Our guest, Jill Ann Spitzmiller, is a documentary producer, director, editor, cinematographer, and teacher whose award-winning work has been shown around the globe. She most recently won a Casey Medal for Meritorious Journalism for her work in the POV PBS documentary Critical Condition, which she co-produced and co-directed. Learn more at her documenter's website, documentaryhowto.com. I'm sure she'd love you to visit her website there. And Carol is with us. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I took Jill Ann's class on crowdfunding, and it was brilliant.
Yes, yes. I know that when you took it, there was a lot that you learned. What are some of the things you want to share with us?
Well, I want Jill Ann to start off because she's, with her guidance, I've been able to really grow and learn about this whole new animal called crowdfunding. So, Jill Ann, we'd just like to hear some ideas, some of the top tips that you think filmmakers need to know to do a successful campaign.
Okay, well, that's exciting because I love talking about that because I feel like crowdfunding is this amazing new tool that we have as filmmakers to empower ourselves not only in the fundraising but in the distribution and marketing of our projects. I mean, it's really, crowdfunding is where marketing and fundraising and distribution all intersect. One of the great things about crowdfunding is that you're not just out there raising money, but you're really building a following for your project, and that is so important. Especially, you know, it's very hard to get funding. It's very competitive. But if you just go straight to your audience, there's a lot of resources out there. So, you know, there's a bunch of different things that I suggest, but there's a few important things, and sort of my top of my list is mindset and how you go into the process of fundraising for your project and how you think about your role in it. And because I think a lot of us come to filmmaking with a lot of baggage around money issues, you know, about asking for money, and it makes us feel awkward or bad or guilty, or, you know, I know I did. I just wasn't raised with a very, you know, clean money consciousness. And so I found one thing that's really important before you begin any fundraising is to really figure out, how do I feel about receiving money, and am I okay with that? And you might think that's a silly question, but if you really meditate on it for a bit, I bet you'll find that it pushes some buttons. So because this whole process that you're about to embark on is about receiving support, whether it's monetary or publicity or it's just words of kindness and, you know, encouragement, you're going to put yourself in the receiving position. So that's sort of my number one tip is, you know, get ready for that. Clean out your closet of your mind and get ready to receive. Because if you're not, you're going to put so many obstacles in your way that you don't even realize, and I've seen it happen time and time again. So I think my students and clients and friends who have the most success are the ones who really met that issue head on. And then from there, just knowing that crowdfunding is going to be a significant part of your activities while you're doing it. You know, it needs time, it needs attention, it needs a really thought-out plan. You need to really prepare for your campaign. You don't just launch it, you know, the day after you think about it or the day you got your video put together. It's much, much more than just putting the assets up on your campaign page, you know, like your pitch and your video and your incentives. That's all incredibly important. But I think the most important step is starting to gather who you're going to target and how you're going to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's finding your niche audience.
And, you know, I know that From the Heart Productions, Carol's foundation, I know that they were a physical sponsor for you and your husband and partner, Hank Rogerson, for the film Still Dreaming. You had a very successful Indiegogo campaign with From the Heart. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I always like to work with Carol as a fiscal sponsor because she is so generous and has such a positive energy, and I feel like a lot of support from that. You know, she's not just someone who's kind of passing along your papers and processing your payments. I really feel like there's really awesome energy behind her support, so I recommend that. But another thing is that she's set up a formal agreement with Indiegogo so that you can use your Indiegogo campaign in a tax-deductible manner, meaning your donors can get a tax deduction from their donation if they want it. And I think that's a great incentive. It's not the only consideration people make, but sometimes they might give you more money if they know they can get a tax deduction. And some donors might give you very large chunks of money because of that they wouldn't otherwise give you. And I know that in our case that was did happen. And so Carol has worked out a deal with Indiegogo, and I'm sure, Carol, you might want to talk about this, but where not only do you get that tax deductible status, but you also save some money on the percentage of fees that get taken off of what you raise. So I found that extremely helpful for our campaign.
Yes, that's great. But thank you for those kind words. It's exciting to me. And when you and Hank got that big donation from someone, Hank said, "Who is that? Nice to talk to him."
Yes.
It was so exciting to see that someone that you, whose door you weren't knocking on day and night, that the universe just sent you a gift.
Well, it was someone we didn't know, and someone that we didn't, it wasn't a friend of a friend. It was someone completely outside of you know, our personal circles. And what Carol's referring to is that we launched our campaign, and, you know, we set about working on it. And our goal was $20,000, and our film is called Still Dreaming, and it's a documentary about older adults reawakening to their dreams and to their own spirits inside of them. And it also involves Shakespeare. So what we did was we basically said, you know, what are the core audiences that might like our film? And we thought, well, obviously there's a huge Shakespeare following. We've tapped into a bit with our film Shakespeare Behind Bars, but we could go much further, we thought, in tapping into that audience. And then we also, you know, realized there's a big audience in terms of serving older adults and elderly and getting their stories out, and to that caregivers and lots of other people would be interested in this film. So we did some internet searching and figured out ways that we could tap into those two groups of people, those two niche audiences. And through tapping into the Shakespeare audience online, we somehow, you know, through our efforts, we got the word out to a Shakespeare group in Chicago. And someone in that group saw the project. They looked at the Indiegogo page, and they had seen our other Shakespeare film, Shakespeare Behind Bars. They had a copy of it, and they made a $7,500 donation to our campaign, and it really threw it into the realm of instantly being a viable campaign. And it, what it really did was it gave us the faith to say, okay, yes, we're going into production, because we were raising money last spring, in 2011, in order to shoot for the summer in 2011 in New Jersey. And we really had gotten no grants to date, and we needed production money, and we had nothing. And so we launched the Indiegogo campaign in order to see if we could get production funding or enough to go into production. But we were still very dubious and very much on the fence, like, are we going to be able to shoot this film or not? And so that donation, even though $7,500 was not enough to shoot our film, it gave us the faith and the confidence that there were people out there that really cared about us making it. And if someone we had no prior knowledge of and didn't know was willing to make that large of a donation, you know, that was a big inspiration for us to keep going. And so from there, and yeah, we called Carol. We're like, Carol, who is this? And we don't know who this is. And so she gave us an email address, and which you get through Indiegogo too, about who your donors are. And I emailed him, and then that's how I got all the information about how he had heard about the project and why he donated. And it was really an incredible experience. So that was when we knew that we were definitely, our work was paying off and hitting our niche audience and communicating our message. And so it was exciting.
Well, this is the key that most people don't want to take the time to do, is to find the niche audience. So you said Shakespeare, retired people. What did you come up with as your list of audiences?
Yeah. So, again, it was the Shakespeare fan base, which is enormous. And some ways we found them were Shakespeare affinity groups on Facebook. We did some posting on those groups, which you have to be careful not to spam too much, but we did some judicious posting on Shakespeare Society pages and Shakespeare theater organizations and Shakespeare meetup groups. And, so we basically went directly to them. And we also contacted a few people that we already knew in the Shakespeare world and said, would you mind posting this on your Facebook page or in your newsletter? So that's in large part how we found, we're just scratching the surface. We just scratched the surface. It's much deeper than, you know, what we even were able to do in 2 months of our campaign. But it gave us confidence that we were going in the right direction for sure, to get a lot of great feedback from the Shakespeare, crowd. We knew that the Shakespeare crowd was probably much more willing to be online than the elderly, but you know, that could be a stereotype that is not true. So we kind of really went after the Shakespeare crowd, and for distribution and marketing, we'll do much more work with senior groups and elder groups and advocacy and stuff like that. But just because a campaign is short and you really have to concentrate your efforts, we went mostly for the Shakespeare crowd.
Well, tell me how you decided what amount to go for.
That's a great question, and what I there's a lot of considerations that I advise people to look into before they set their amount. Number one is, do you have a really strong network to begin with? Like, do you have an email list of 500 people who are really interested in what you're doing already? We did. We had an email list from our previous film in distribution. Whenever we went to a film festival, we got people to sign up for our mailing list. Whenever someone bought the film, I kept a track of their email address, you know, so I actually had a really good list of Shakespeare-interested people already. So if you're starting without that, that's something you're going to have to build, and that takes a while. So you also need to think about what you actually need. Like, you know, making a film can be really expensive. It can be $400,000 or something. So what I suggest is breaking down your cash flow into phases. Like, what's the next phase that you're going to be doing, and how much do you need for that? So say you already shot your film, and now you want to do a whole series of interesting animations to go with it. So how much is that going to cost? Or maybe you're just starting and you haven't even developed your film and you need a trailer and you need a good proposal and all that. How much is that going to cost you to create those fundraising materials? You know, so if that's $10,000, then I would say, okay, then you have to figure out how you can, you know, maybe that's your goal, $10,000. So basically, I think that the money that you want to ask for, it has to be real to you. Like, don't just say, oh, wouldn't it be great to have $50,000? No, you have to break it down and budget it out really specifically. Like, okay, I need $10,000 because I need this kind of camera. I'm going to shoot for this amount of days. I need this person to be my DP. And all of that is going to cost me $10,000. Because I think if you know all that, then you'll really believe in that figure. And then you'll really go for it. You know, if you're like, oh, $50,000, wouldn't that be great? But you don't know what you're going to spend it on, then I think you have less emotional energy invested into it. And I think you know, you've really got to define that. So that's how many people do you already have on your list? What do you actually need for this next phase? And also, how willing are you to really get out there and pound the internet pavement and bring people to your campaign? Because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to put it up on Indiegogo or Kickstarter or whatever, and then people are just going to find it and donate. But that's not the way it works. You have to drive traffic continually. And the thing is, if you get someone to your page once, well, that's fine, but marketing experience and statistics show that it takes 7 times for someone to hear about something before they take action. So, and Indiegogo backs this up with their research, that it usually takes 7 times for you to put the project in front of a donor before they will actually click the button and hit donate and go through with the donation.
I think that the information that you're sharing really also speaks to the importance, and you talk about this in your class, before you even launch, of receiving and how important that is that you open yourself to receiving, because some people kind of drive with the brakes on.
Exactly. You'll have one foot on the gas and you'll have one foot on the brakes if you're not ready to receive, and that doesn't get you anywhere. Yeah.
Well, what you're talking about is so important, and I really was hoping that you might be able to go into strategic partners for a minute.
Sure. So, you know, really, crowdfunding is a numbers game, and you need huge amounts of people visiting your page if you want to raise more than $500. You know, if you don't have people in your family who have a lot of money who are going to just give you a quick $5,000, then you're going to have to reach, you know, if you have a $10,000 goal, you're going to have to reach, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people. I mean, I think our campaign, just to give you a sort of idea, was we raised $21,500-something, but unofficially we raised $27,000. And what I mean by that is that $21,000-plus came through the actual campaign mechanism, but some people heard about the film because of all our efforts on the Indiegogo campaign and said, I want to give to you, but I'm going to give you outside of the mechanism so that you save the percentage. You know, so there was another $6,000 that sort of came in around the bend, if you will. I'm just looking up my statistics right now, but I think we had something like 8,000 views or something from. So that means that, you know, 8,000 people visited. I'm just looking at my dashboard. I should add it up, but I want to give you some numbers so that people will understand how much traffic do you actually need, you know, to get to your. So that brings me back to strategic partners, which is, okay, so you identify your niche audiences, but then you have to figure out, okay, I only have 60 days to raise $20,000. I need to get to the most the biggest number of people in my niche audience with the least amount of effort that I can. So you need to have strategic partners helping you out, and those are people who have already gathered your niche audience on the web for you. And so basically you sidle up to them and figure out, what can I give to them that would be of use to them and of value to them, so that they will help me promote and spread the word for my project. So you want the situation to be a win-win. You know, you don't want to just randomly call upon some sort of affinity group and say, hey, you know, spread the word about my project. You have to think about, what are they doing out in the world? How are they serving their membership? How are they serving their affinity group? And what do you have that you could add to what they're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just got my stats up here, and basically the number's actually lower than I thought, but I had 2,600 visitors to my Indiegogo page, and out of that, I think 160 donated. So I don't know what the percentage is there, but you can see that the number of donors is a lot smaller than the number of visitors. It's somewhere less than 10%. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of having people, you know, many more people than you think you need to visit your page. So, Carol, just to go back to strategic partners, those partners help you drive good amounts of people to your page. And you don't have to, you know, this gets you beyond your own circle of friends, beyond your own email lists, and that's when the funds really will start flowing, is when you get this campaign out there in the world, and you know, bless you if you get it to go viral, then you're in the green.
Yes, definitely. But let me just say that I found a statistic that covers what you were saying earlier. Campaigns who provide updates every 5 days raise 218% more than those who update less. And you have a brilliant newsletter. I always felt like it was personally written to me, and it was you talking. And it was so effective, and I think that every week or every 5 days, something like that, I was an update on what was happening.
Yeah, so when you're doing the campaign, you know, after getting traffic to your site, you want to reach out to those people who have either given you their email address or who have clicked that they want to have your campaign as a favorite, which means they'll get an update from you through the campaign. So then you really have to engage with them, and you have to give them more information and convey your passion and convey your progress and vary the ways that you are reaching out to people and communicating with them, because you don't want to be like, okay, I have to talk to them 7 times before they'll donate, and I'm just going to keep sending the same email letter, and that's going to work. Well, that's not true. You know, they're going to be like, oh, my God, this is the third time they've said that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be unsubscribed from their email list. So it's really about enlarging the story that's on your campaign homepage with anecdotes, with character profiles, with behind-the-scenes updates of what you're doing, and just really opening yourself. Like Carol was saying, she felt like I was speaking to her, and that's because you kind of make yourself open and vulnerable and really just lay it out there for people. You know, this is why this project means so much to me. I mean, one of the updates I did was why I'm making this project, and I wrote this very personal letter about my relationship with my own grandmother, and it felt incredibly exposing to me to do that, but it was also something I felt was like so important for people to know, that my underlying motivation for doing this film was because of a deep connection I had with my own grandmother, and I think people respond to those personal stories really well, and they go, oh, okay, this person is so passionate and sincere, and I feel good about contributing to this because it's opening my heart and it's making me think about my grandmother and, you know, in honor of her or whatever, you know, whatever people, what makes
right.
them
You know, I have to agree with you, Jillian, because I know that people do tend to respond to something that they can relate to, that they feel they can be a part of. They're not giving and offering support to a project. They're giving to a person with a passion and
yeah.
meaning. There's something meaningful there that mm-hmm. reaches out in a bigger way. When you send these emails out on your list during your campaign, how many emails do you feel is appropriate for this type of sending?
We did an email about once a week, and that's a mass email, but it's done through an email service like MailChimp or Constant Contact. So all those email addresses are in there. It's a very automated process once you write the newsletter and put all the content in there that you want. That's very personalized. But then it goes out to, you know, several hundred people at a time, or thousands if you're lucky enough to have all those people on your list. So we sent a direct email once a week. But then we also posted on our Facebook page once a day. We posted on through our campaign, through the update function every few days. We added content to the campaign page frequently every few days. You know, we might have, you know, you'd probably just check out our campaign page, and it's at Indiegogo.com, and the project is Still Dreaming. So if you look at the updates and the comments and all that, you'll kind of see how we managed it through the page, because the great thing is all that stuff is just still up there and archived. And so we did it in a variety of ways. And then we also went after bloggers who blogged about Shakespeare. And we got 5 different bloggers, I think, to blog about the campaign. So these were people who knew about our previous film and were excited about the fact that we're making another one, because that other one did really well. And so, you know, we had some credibility in that niche audience to begin with because of our prior film. And, you know, it's just interesting to look at that film versus our new film, because the landscape has totally changed. None of this stuff was around in 2003 and 4 and 5 when we were fundraising for that film. So, anyway.
Jillian, one of the things I meant to ask early on was about your crew. Indiegogo says you're better off with a crew of 4. You can't do it alone. And I find it's really hard to convince filmmakers that they can't do it alone, not if they want to really be successful. How many was in your crew?
Well, and if filmmakers do want to do it, they probably find it a little bit difficult to convince others to be on their team and do as much work as they need to do. But don't let that put you off. I mean, we just... Hank and I did the bulk of the work, and Hank is my filmmaking partner and husband, and we did most of it. Our cinematographer was on our team, and she did some posts on Facebook every couple weeks, and might have done a personal email to her friends once or twice. So she did contribute, but we didn't have 4 people, but I know that it does really help you, but it doesn't help to have them in sort of figurehead status only. They have to be willing to reach out to their social media network, and hopefully it's a network that's different than yours. You don't want to get someone who has the exact same pool of people as you do. You know, the whole idea of having team members is that you're expanding that social network and getting the word out.
Well, Jillian, this is wonderful information. Thank you so much. I know that we just have less than a minute left. So if there's anything else, Carol, that you wanted to wrap up with Jillian, let's go ahead and do that now.
Well, it's the most important thing is that Jillian is a brilliant teacher, and she has made so many documentaries. She's been through the thick and thin of it, and so has Hank, her husband. They're lovely people, wonderful to work with, and I highly recommend them. And so you should go to documentaryhowto.com and learn more about who she is and what she does.
Absolutely. Once again, that website is documentaryhowto.com. The guest, Jill Ann Spitzmiller. And Carol and I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Be sure and visit our website as well, FromTheHeartProductions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.